Broadcast from what we call now the old Unity Tree, but we're not quite out of here yet. We're literally in an empty building, but we're moving to a new location. But we're glad that you could join us tonight, and we have a special guest tonight, and it happens to be my co-host, and we are going to be interviewing her on an incredible UFO sighting that she had on early morning of October 1st, and before I bring her on, I would like to explain what we were doing then. Deb and I were asked by a paranormal team called MAPIT and Northern Spirit Seekers to join in on a national ghost hunt that was worldwide. It had 71 teams, and so that was very special for us. And early that morning, when we were at the location called Clive and Dot's Anchor Inn, I had to leave early, and Deb left around 1 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about her experience and what happened to her after she left Clive and Dot's. And we were also asked, as one of the only group out of the 71, to record and monitor UFO activity.
We're hearing you need to speak louder.
UFO activity that night. We were one group only that was asked to do this, and Beth Gilmore was actually in charge of it.
Gilmore, she's going to kill you.
Oh, excuse me. Lady Beth, how's that? All right, Lady Beth, sorry about that. But anyway, so this is about experience that my co-host had on the way home, and she left at 1 o'clock, and so I'm going to get right into the interview here. How you doing, Deb?
I'm doing great. A little bit nervous about going so public with the information, but
well,
it's okay. It
and,
needs to be out there.
Right, it needs to be out there. And there's going to be some talk about some lost time, too, because I had it myself in 1975, so I know exactly what you're going through. And so you were leaving Clive and Dot's Anchor Inn on October 1st, early wee hours of the morning. And the way this was set up here at Clive and Dot's, this experiment was by Brian and Marie Schmidt and Brian Kano. And we had 2 hours to do an experiment all together, right?
Right.
Right. And we had to have mediums, we had to have scientists, and we had to have skeptics in our group. And you were the medium, of course. And all week you were asked to tune into what this time stream experiment was all about that took place in the 80s and 90s.
Right. And that, you know, tuning in, it was tapping into the other side, to other realms, tapping into time stream. I'm hoping our volume is up high enough. Can everybody hear us now? If you can't, let us know, please, because we can increase it.
We can increase it, yes.
The tapping in was, you know, definitely to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I am a medium, so
that's what you do.
My duty was. Mm-hmm. So all week long, I was zoning in, tapping into, being open to the other side.
Correct. So we spent the day before there setting up equipment and kind of going through what we were supposed to do. And I had to leave early. Of course, I left about 10:30 that night, and you stayed. And you decided to leave about 1 o'clock, and so we're going to get right into this. You got into your car, and this Clive and Dot's Anchor Inn was about, what, 10 minutes from your house?
It's approximately 10 minutes. Mm. I think 8 miles from my house.
Right. So let's get right into it. You got into your car. You were driving down M55.
Yes.
And take over from there. What happened?
I was driving down M55. You've heightened my memory a little bit because we were talking the other night about, you know, where I saw certain things. I know if anybody knows 55 in Houghton Lake, also known as Houghton Lake Drive, I had passed Family Fair because I remember thinking about my sister, thinking, man, I should stop in and see her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling really weird. I'd like to stop and see my sister. So I looked down at the clock, see what time it was. So I knew that it, you know, I had passed that area. And when I looked down, I was feeling even more weird. And the clock said 1:11. It was quite odd because as I'm looking down, my skin started to tingle and I could literally feel all of my hair stand up. So immediately I looked up. My car had slowed down. It, you know, you're driving along and it does the I'm just looking to see if anybody is commenting about our sound anymore. The car slowed way down and the interior lights came on. But as I was looking up in the sky, or looking forward, it looked like the whole sky was encompassed with this, it was like golden lights in the shape of a pyramid. It seemed to be translucent, although it was somewhat turning, and it was almost blinding. So I couldn't really tell what I was seeing through it. And I could tell the bottom of it was solid. And I think the bottom may have been a different color, but, you know, I was so in shock that I really, I don't remember if it was a different color. It may have been dark. And it looked like it was coming down slowly in a slow turn and was going to land right on the ground. It seemed like I was looking at this thing for the longest time. And all of a sudden it started to dissipate. Now the odd thing is it didn't fly in. It was suddenly there. I didn't see anything as I was driving. I didn't see anything until I looked up.
Do you mind if I back you up for a minute?
Yeah, back me up.
Because let's get back into when you first you looked down and you saw it was 111.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to explain that this 111 is a number that a lot of people have claimed to be seeing all the time. So it is significant if you look it up. Another thing is, you know, getting more detail about your what happened in the car, about your, you know, what was going on with you? What did you feel? What did you hear? You know, what was going on with the car itself?
Well, like I said, the car did slow down. The interior lights came on. The way I felt was...
You said that the hair, you were talking about the hair on your...
Yeah, I could feel all of my hair stand up. It, I mean, it was almost to the point of feeling like my hair was being pulled. But it was literally standing up. I mean, I could feel it like everywhere. And it was a tingle. It felt like electricity is what it felt like. Like if you stuck something in a socket. You know, I don't know if you ever did that or anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely quite the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt. And at the same time, my skin felt hot and tingly. But not like it was burning, just hot.
So physically your car had slowed down and also the lights had come on, right?
Yes.
Okay, so. All right, so you, I mean, after all this, you were watching this giant golden pyramid come down out of the sky, right?
Right.
And you said, I know I had talked to you earlier about this, of course, many times, but you had also said that this thing looked how big?
it was really odd because as I was looking at it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, it encompasses the whole sky. It has to be at least 10 miles wide. And I believe that may have even been what I put in my MUFON report. But after thinking about it and thinking about the physical reaction as well as, you know, the way it affected my car and everything, I'm thinking now it looked that big because it was so close.
Right.
It was probably closer, but it was still quite
very
big.
Very big, yeah. Okay, so you left Clavin-Dotts at 1 o'clock. You got about, well, you know, we kind of went over this the other night, probably about halfway home. And
it was a little after 1. I don't know the exact time I left, but I knew it was after 1.
But the important thing is you looked at the clock and you saw 111, right?
Right.
And, you know, all of this was going on. And so, of course, you were in shock. I'm sure you were.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you said that you didn't remember getting home, do you?
I don't. No, I don't have any memory of getting home. The last memory that I have was thinking I have to turn off my interior lights, but I couldn't move my hands off the wheel, so I couldn't turn them off. From there, I remember being in my driveway.
Now, did you hear any sounds when this thing happened?
Oh, boy. The sound reminded me of when I was a kid and we'd ride motorcycles on the power line. There was a place up near Kalkaska. Oh, everybody's talking about volume again. So
let me try to take care of this, okay?
We're going to increase this a little bit.
Excuse me, folks.
Because if you can't hear it, this is some important information.
better now. I know I can hear myself better.
Okay. Can everybody hear us? It may be. I don't know a lot about Facebook Live. Allie's doing the phone for us. Thank you, Allie, for Facebook Live, for Beth Gilmer's request. Do we need the volume up on the phone?
It's all the way up. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so this is the first time we've done this, folks, so we apologize if you can't hear us very well, but we're going to do our best to do this. So you know, you heard some noises, and you said you were explaining that to us.
The noise was, like I said, it reminded me of being under power lines, a lot of power lines, times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was a loud buzz hum. Like you would get from electricity. It literally hurt my ears.
Okay.
It didn't sound like a motor or anything like that. It literally sounded like...
just a very intense buzz, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A humming buzz.
Mm-hmm. Similar to what I had in 1975, so I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I've had a humming buzz a few times.
Yeah.
It might have been different.
Yes. So you don't remember getting home, but you do remember when you were home, you got out of your car, you said. Now explain what happened then.
Well, I don't remember getting home. I remember sitting in my driveway looking at the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, what in the heck was that? What did I see? What's going on? I want to back up one second because I think it's really important. For whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
I did not feel fear.
Okay. And you had mentioned that many times to me.
When I saw this, I felt, of course, very excited. It's like, wow, what the heck? A UFO was the furthest thing from my mind. Except that, you know, anything unidentified flying object is a UFO.
Right.
So, but I felt overwhelming love.
Oh,
so
awesome.
That's kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm weird. So that, you know, if I saw a Bigfoot, I'd probably run up and hug it. Who knows? Shut up, Brad. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes, I was sitting in the driveway looking at the sky. And thinking, I've got to tell somebody. I have to talk to somebody. You know, somebody has to know, but it's after 1 a.m. Wait, Beth is still awake. Because Beth was with us at Clive and Dodd's Anchor Inn,
mm-hmm.
and spending the night there. And she was going to continue with the investigation after we left. So I stood in the driveway and went in circles a few times looking at the sky. And made a mad dash into my house. Knowing Beth is up, I'm going to go talk to her. So I ran into my house, and immediately, I mean, my computer is right there. So I got on the computer, went to Facebook, and right away started talking to Beth. You won't believe what happened to me, what I saw. This is crazy. And we had, you know, a short conversation about it. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up again to know how long.
And she was busy doing some stuff there, too.
She was literally doing
investigation
or
she was
something.
Contacting. She was she's a medium, too, and she was contacting mm-hmm. Spirit, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so you had this one incredible experience. You know, you had mentioned to me a few times that you felt so bad that you didn't have another witness with you. And, you know, even though I had a witness with my experience, and, you know, both of us didn't believe that anybody was going to believe what we saw or what we, you know, what we heard or saw. So, but I believe you because I know you, and I know that you saw definitely what you saw.
Oh, absolutely.
And so here you are, you know, how did you sleep that night? Did you sleep at all or?
No.
No.
I did not sleep at all. Carly's asking on here, did you notice anything else in the sky like the moon or clouds? I did notice, you know, I had been looking at the sky. It was a cloudy night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It was also the night of, I believe, well, it was the night before, of the black moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
that they also call the noon moon.
Yeah,
right?
It's a new moon, yeah, but it was called the black moon, which the day before and the day after, you know, things do happen, so...
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't get much sleep, and you called me the next day, and you told me the story and what you saw and what you witnessed.
Right.
And then I guess we should get into how you realized that you lost some time here and how much you lost.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. It was a very big, very big shock.
Yeah.
When I got home, I realized, sitting in my driveway, oh, my God, I don't even remember the drive home. But then it dawned on me that would be normal because I would be in shock.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing what I saw and feeling what I felt, I would be in shock. So I didn't think any more of it until 2 days later when I, by the request of quite a few friends, decided to make it an official report to MUFON. I thought, well, I need to copy and paste the conversation between Beth and I so people can see, or Daniel can see, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
Who was helping me with everything, what the conversation was. And when I went to copy and paste our conversation, I noticed that we did not start that conversation until 2:19 a.m., an hour and 8 minutes.
After this happened.
After seeing what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, whoa, wait a minute, I was only a few minutes from home.
Right.
What happened?
What happened?
Why don't I remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that, honestly... has been the hardest part for me. I don't have the fear over what I saw.
Right.
I believe in, so many different realms, and I think anything's possible.
And we both believe in UFOs and life on other planets.
Right, but you know a lot about UFOs. That's never been an area that I studied. So I really...
Well, that's because of what happened to me in 1975. And now you are becoming quite...
Obsessed
and intrigued about it. And it's very normal, trust me, so when you have an experience like this. So good luck, because it does take, it takes a lot of your time and a lot of your thoughts. So.
Right. Yeah. It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I don't mean to be obsessed, and I think a few people that know me well know that I kind of secretly am reading things and listening to videos and seeking information because I want to know what the hell was that.
Right.
Right. I did find, thanks to Bill Konklowski from MUFON.
Here in Michigan, yeah.
Here in Michigan. He's the state director. He recommended a book
mm-hmm.
by
Ingo Swann.
Ingo Swann.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say the name of it. I really hate to say the name of it.
Well, it's called Penetration.
Yeah.
And it's... But
Penetrated.
Penetrated,
anyways,
yeah.
When you type in the title of this book, be very, very careful because, boy, oh boy, the websites you get.
Oh, you're telling me, I'll tell you.
Anyways, so he recommended this book. And it was about some of his experiences as a remote viewer and seeing, life on the moon and things like that. But in one part of the book, he saw the same thing that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It same way, it did not fly in. It suddenly appeared. It dissipated and was gone. The same way my experience was.
It wasn't gold, but it was what, green and blue and different colors.
Yeah, it was different colors.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain. I can't explain any of this. I really can't.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you to Bill for having me read that book.
Right.
It has really helped. When I first talked to Bill, I said, I feel like I'm crazy here. I know that I saw what I saw, but at the same time, I did not take photos. I've been looking for other witnesses. can't find other witnesses.
Right. It's frustrating.
It is. It's mm-hmm. very frustrating. So, you know, people have said, do you feel like you're crazy? Really, I don't feel like I'm crazy other than I'm very obsessed right now. But I do worry about putting this out so publicly because I don't have anything to back it up.
Well, you know, the good thing about it, Deb, let me tell you something. The last survey I saw was that 85% of the population believe in UFOs, so mm-hmm. it's a little better than doing it like 30 years ago.
That's true. Yeah. Travis Walton really, you know, he went through an awful lot, and he had witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not comparing my story to his.
Right, right, right.
He remembers parts of his abduction, mm-hmm. and that leads up to, you know, after I noticed that this hour and 8 minutes was literally missing from my life, I kind of went crazy, and I kept going over in my mind, how could this happen? If I were abducted, I'd know it. You know, something, I'd have some memories. So I wrote to Bill, the director of MUFON in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and said...
Who's had his own experiences.
He has been abducted, absolutely. I said, please tell me, if I were abducted, I would remember it, right? No.
No.
He said they are experts at erasing memory.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, most of the time, he said, people do not remember anything about being abducted. The ones that do have some memory have bits and pieces,
mm-hmm.
but most people that have been abducted don't have any memory. So then I'm thinking, man, if I had not written to Beth, I wouldn't even know that I had this missing time.
Right.
You know, was I abducted? I can't say 1,000% that yes, I was. All I can say is there was time missing. I don't know. I don't have any memory of that time.
You know, we had a discussion this morning about, you know, you feel violated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I kind of told you that, you know, there's some things that we probably can't handle, mm-hmm. you know, all at once, and that there may be a reason behind it, that they do erase our memories because, you know, if it totally just blow us away, we might end up in a nut house. I don't know. I mean, you're going to end up in a nut house just thinking about it anyway, but... There's nothing you can do about it for one thing. I get that. I mean, what happens will happen.
Right.
And yeah, I understand how you feel that way, but I'm saying there's probably a reason behind that, why they do that to us. You know, I'm not quite sure, figured it out all, but, I know how you felt. I know what you went through. I had the same thing happen to me out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, we're just going to, maybe we can remember later on. You know, maybe it'll come back
possibly.
With some bits and pieces. Yeah.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, and I want to say this to anybody that's been through this, especially women, and I don't want to minimize what you went through.
Right.
But as a woman, in my youth, at one point, I was a rape survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And emotionally, even though I'm a grown woman now and I feel I've dealt with all of that and, you know, I went through counseling and everything, it brings back a lot of that same emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that violation, that feeling of somebody took something from me without my consent
mm-hmm.
or my knowledge, that can be pretty devastating.
Yeah.
I consider myself a very strong person. Emotionally, I'm very strong. So it makes me concerned for other people, especially women, but anybody who has been through this, that feeling of violation, you know, talk to people.
And the violation is they took away what? Time, right, from you?
Well, they took...
Or memory.
Me. I mean, mm-hmm. it took me without my permission. May have taken. Like I said, I can't say 1,000%.
Right.
I would have never, of all of the paranormal conferences I've been to, and I've been in the field for many years, I've heard a lot of people talk about abduction, and
until it happens to you,
I never ever suspected that they would feel the way that I feel.
Right.
In some ways, I feel very blessed to have had the experience. It was beautiful. It was exciting. It's mind-boggling because I want to know, why did I see this?
Mm-hmm.
It had to have been so close. So close. But it definitely does a number on you.
We had text from a friend of ours we met up in Petoskey the other weekend, from Jean, and she had given you some information on it. How did you feel? Could you share that with the audience, and what do you feel about that?
Boy, you would have to bring that up.
You know me. I'm here to interview you.
She is a reader and told me that she had gotten some information, and I only have my phone doing Facebook Live, so I can't read it. But it was basically they wanted her to have her let me know that they wanted my permission to tap in, because basically they say they made me, but didn't realize with what they did and the human aspect as well, that I'm a lot stronger than what they thought, and they're asking my permission to get into my head.
Mm-hmm. Get into your life, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make you more aware, right?
Right, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Louder. Everybody's saying louder.
Louder, so... Yeah, I mean,
louder.
Here you go. So, you know, I like I said, back in 1975, I was 20 years old when it happened to me, and I didn't ask for it. I didn't, I had no idea what was going on, but, I'm just getting back to the point that, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, when it happens to you, either their technology or whatever is so much more advanced than ours, and
mm-hmm.
and there's a reason behind it why they do what they do.
Right.
Why, I don't know, but there has to be a reason, and I trust it,
mm-hmm.
and I think someday we'll find out.
I'm hoping so.
Yes, we will.
I'm hoping so. And I don't mean to be rude and keep looking away. I'm
mm-hmm.
keeping track of Facebook Live a little bit here. Somebody had asked... Where did it go? Something about dreams. In all honesty, this happened at 1:11 on October 1st, 28 days ago. It's been at 1:11, it'll be 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
I have not slept a whole lot.
Yeah.
I fall asleep, I wake up, I fall asleep, I wake up. Am I having crazy dreams? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being allowed to see exactly what happened? No. I'm trying to put pieces together. I have seen some things. I have seen hands coming at me. Just glimpses. I haven't seen faces,
mm-hmm.
really. My dreams are insane.
Right.
Insane.
Yes. Had a few myself.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And I'm hoping at some point to actually do hypnotism with somebody that is very trained in
mm-hmm.
this area. Not in the mic. Okay.
Oh, not in the mic, in general. Okay.
Okay, so we have to talk louder.
So we're talking.
Is that better?
We're actually talking to the phone. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, we do radio, folks. We don't do live.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're not taught. We forget that we're...
So the phone needs to be a little closer.
Yeah. So
but you can't get the phone too close. Okay.
You have to understand we are listening to what we're talking to the mics or our headphones, because we are doing radio, too.
Yeah.
And
you can listen to the archive on type in blog talkradio.com/mysticalawakeningsradio.
Yeah, so you'll have to excuse us. We're doing this for the first time, and or I am anyway. So we'll try to talk more into the phone, okay? And If you missed a lot of this, you want to hear it on the radio, you can play the archive. So.
Yeah. Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah.
Where is the speaker on the phone? I'm wondering if that's where your hand is.
Hmm.
No? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah, we're talking into the microphone because we're also doing our Guiding Light radio show on Mystical Awakenings Radio. So where in the heck were we?
Well, you know, you explained your story. All the physical things that happened to you and your vehicle and the missing time and also your dreams. We were talking about dreams.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about dreams. And I honestly, you know, I've had a few people ask me, well, you know, have you had the dreams? Mm-hmm. Because everyone says that if you're abducted, you have dreams and you'll see them. You'll see what happened. Yeah, I don't think I've stayed in a dream long enough. I mean, dreams have been freaky. I'm definitely dreaming other things. You know, about people.
I think they give you enough information that you can handle at the time, and it's just it's a process.
Remember to talk louder for the phone.
Yeah, and it's a process that you go through. But yeah, I've had a lot of dreams, you know, especially about UFOs myself. And, you know, it's just, it's part of the process. You get what you can handle, and it's so overwhelming and so shocking when it happens to you that you just, you know, you can't get it all at once. You look literally explode, you know,
right,
with the information.
Right.
So,
well, you know, I do want to say again that I was very leery. I'm still leery about being so public with this because, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm really not. I'm a very sane person. Hey, wonderful. I think I'm a pretty sane person.
Yeah, you're the sanest person I know.
But I wanted to go public because, number one, I want people to understand if you've been through this, and you are wondering why you're having the emotional issues, you know, talk to somebody. Please talk to somebody. You know, contact me. I'm willing to, not that I have the answers, but I have ears and a heart.
Yeah,
and
call
shoulders.
Us on our show.
And I want to know, darn it, are there any other witnesses from that night? I've put it on Facebook, and I've talked to people. If anybody saw anything at that time, on October 1st, the early morning of October 1st, you know, odd lights in the sky, anything. If you heard the buzzing, any of it, please make a MUFON report or some sort of a report. And if you can, let me know.
Right.
Let me know. I did not, you know, at that time, I probably could not have taken my hands off the wheel because I couldn't do it to turn the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought to pull out my phone and take a photo. So I have no
evidence,
you know,
right,
whatsoever other than my word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a lot of faith that most of the people that know me definitely will believe me because, you know, I just don't lie about something like this.
No, it's...
But,
it would take a lot of time to make up a story like this. So
yeah.
Yeah. But no, I know you saw what you saw, and trust me, I believe you 100%. So,
well, thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Comments have stopped out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, everybody, no, they haven't.
Our technician over here says they haven't.
Okay, well, I'm not seeing comments, so I keep looking down because I'm trying to read it. Are there new comments that I need to know? Okay, if anybody wants to ask anything.
Yeah, feel free.
We'll be on the air about 20, 25 more minutes. We were going to do a two-hour show. Beth and Barry were going to come here, and Beth wanted to be a part of the interviewing process, but they couldn't make it. So.
And this is going in her report, right?
This is going in. Yeah, and it's really odd because Beth, on the team that we're on right now, Michigan Area Paranormal Investigative Team, also known as MAPIT.
MAPIT, yeah.
We love MAPIT. Beth is on the team and also part of the National Ghost Hunt as a medium. But she was also asked to, I don't know if there's a name for the program, through the National Ghost Hunt, apparently, and I didn't realize this, they were doing some sort of UFO reporting from that time.
Right. We were the only team that was asked to do that. And Beth Gilmore was, Lady Beth.
Oh, she's going to hurt me.
I know, she's going to hurt me. Was in charge of, well, that's, you know. Hey, I'm just being honest. Was in charge.
Sorry about that,
dude. Was in charge of doing this and asked for our help. And, you know, so this is going to go on her report because it did happen the day of the National Ghost Hunt that we took part in. So.
Could you move if you wanted to?
While in the car, I'm assuming is what that means. Probably not. And I don't know if it was, if I was frozen from the shock, but I knew that I wanted to turn my lights off because the interior lights came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't. I could not. I literally could not take my hands off the steering wheel. So probably not. And when I got home, I couldn't turn the. I tried to turn the lights off, and they wouldn't turn off. But the next morning, when I started the car, they were not on. So.
Hmm. So I mean, you had the experience. I believe you.
Love you too, Miss.
Yeah. If anybody
love
out.
Love you too, Miss.
If anybody out there has had similar experiences or, you know, had UFO experiences, please write in and tell us. Like I said, I had mine in 1975 up here in Mayo, Michigan. And so fortunately, I know what you went through. And we're going to...
Laughing at Josh is throwing a stick around.
We have people in the studio moving around here and making noises and... Yeah. And clearing out the old Unity tree here.
Yes, we are getting ready to move.
Right.
Absolutely, half mile down the road.
Did you have any physical marks?
Honest to goodness, I don't know. I never thought to look. Nothing that I could see.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I was hearing that, you know, like 2 weeks later, you know. Sometimes you get markings under your arms or behind your legs, things like that. I didn't look, and I didn't have anybody else look either, so I don't know.
Hmm.
Not that I know of.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you had a UFO experience, or did you have something... what they call, maybe you saw something coming in from a different dimension, or both.
Right. And that was the, you know, for a few weeks there, it was mind-boggling. It's like, was this interdimensional? Because I was so open to the other side. And as a medium, I'll kind of quick explain. Being in the zone, being open, means that we're not totally thinking with the brain. We are thinking with the mind, and the mind is the soul self.
Mm-hmm.
We allow the mind to bring in information. That's how when spirits talk to me, I know what they're saying. That's how they show me what they look like, things like that. So I thought, you know, I've been in the zone for a week before this thing happened and very open in my soul, my mind. Maybe it was simply, or not so simply, a peek into like the seventh dimension. And I say seventh because that's the dimension that we use for time travel. And that's what it felt like. It's a whole, you know, the whole time thing. When I talked to Bill about it, and I said, Bill, you know, I need to know, you know, I'm torn here. Was this maybe a UFO, or was it something very spiritual? And if you know Bill, he's very serious, and he just gives me his little Bill smile and says, both.
Mm-hmm.
Deb, it was both. Wow. Okay. So.
Thanks for the help, right?
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Well, you know, seeing a UFO is very spiritual.
It is.
It is.
And like I said earlier, a UFO does not necessarily mean it was, you know, a spaceship from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for unidentified flying object.
Right.
So it was definitely a UFO,
mm-hmm.
but what it was, I don't know. I really want feedback from other people that may have seen the same thing or similar to it.
Right.
You know, let's see what we can figure out what this is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, since you've told me, I've been going on the internet trying to find whatever it is I can about pyramids and UFO pyramids and just about pyramids in general, which I've always read about. But, mm-hmm. There's definitely, in my opinion, pyramids are throughout the whole universe. You find them everywhere, as they proved on Mars and now finding many more here on this planet. And there's a reason that they were built. And, you know, it's a universal thing as far as I'm concerned for healing and for
mm-hmm.
energy, for anything, you know. So
right,
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah, pyramids are universal. And even in healing, I think I've told you, I don't do it anymore, but I used to build copper pyramids and
mm-hmm.
hang crystals from them. And that's a very good healing tool. Sorry, everybody, I forgot to speak up. I'm so used to radio. I used to build copper pyramids for healing purposes and for meditation. So, yeah, I agree that, you know, pyramids are very ancient. The shape, everything about it is universal.
Mm-hmm.
It's healing. It's beauty.
It's higher geometry.
But what kind of a UFO is it?
Right.
You know, what is it? What is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Why was I shown this? If I've seen it and Ingo Swann saw it, there has to be others out there that have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? You know, it's something that from what I can tell, because I've done now 28 days of, oh my God, reading, even in the middle of the night, trying to find others that have seen this, it's not something that's talked about if it's seen.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, like you said, you saw a pyramid, and it was a geometric shape that we're familiar with. So, you know, I have to agree with you that it probably is a universal, you know, what do you call it? I don't want to say universal UFO, but a universal thing that you find throughout the universe that has meaning and you know, it's been around for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't say it's
right. We have people that are tuning in now, and I just want to, I'll go back a little bit on the morning, early morning of October 1st at 1:11 a.m. I saw something in the sky. I had looked down at my clock, felt sensations, saw something in the sky, and it was, it looked like an enormous golden pyramid of light. It was, I believe, translucent. I'm positive I could see through it. It was rotating, slowly rotating, as well as coming down. It looked like it was going to land right on Earth. I was having a lot of physical sensations. My ears, someone had asked about pain. Was there physical pain? My ears, for days, hurt. The buzzing in my ears would not stop. So that was the biggest physical pain. The other physical was just a very hot, tingly, electrifying
mm-hmm.
sensation. I could feel my hair, literally feel my hair standing up. So this, you know, I just wanted to recap that a little bit because people are kind of going back to the beginning. It happened at 1:11 without knowing it. I was only a few minutes from home. I got home and got on the computer instantly and it was 2:19 a.m. So, yes, there was lost time.
Yeah, an hour and what, 9 minutes?
Hour and 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Yeah.
And also, if you didn't tune in earlier, her car slowed down. The lights in the side of her car came on. Like she said, she was literally 10 miles from her home. By the time she got home and wanted to tell somebody, it was an hour and 8 minutes later.
Right.
And she had no idea. And she found that out a day or two later.
I was not 10 miles from home.
Well, no, you were actually halfway.
I was probably at that point.
5 miles.
From family fair to my house is 3 miles.
3 miles, yeah. So
I always figure about 4 minutes from family fair.
So in between that time that she looked at the clock at 1:11 and at 2:19, Deb doesn't remember a whole lot what happened. She doesn't remember anything what happened. So how she got home, I don't remember driving home. So that's what this is all about. We're trying to get her experience out here and let folks know that, if anybody's had this experience, please call in or get a hold of Deb. You can talk to us on our Guiding Light. We're on Friday nights. And we're also doing this for a report that we participated in on October 1st when it happened. In the National Ghost Hunt, 2-hour experiment, and we were chosen to actually monitor UFO activity.
Well, we weren't.
Well, we weren't. But
I wasn't.
No.
I didn't know about that. Beth, I think Beth had talked to you about it.
Yeah.
Beth was actually the one asked to monitor that, right?
Yeah, I promise I won't say Beth, anymore.
Beth Gilmer.
Gilmer.
We love you, Beth.
Okay, so.
And happy birthday to Barry a day late.
Yeah, I know.
Happy birthday, Barry.
So anyway, yeah, she was asked to monitor this during the 2-hour experiment we had going on from, I believe it was, 10 to midnight, October 1st?
Yeah.
Yes. that's right. You really weren't aware of that, were you? So.
No, yeah. That was not my.
Mm-hmm.
My position was to tap in to time stream, to other realms, to spirit,
mm-hmm.
to be open to receive messages. And that's what I did. And I received some very, very good messages. I had contact from 2 males who were very open about their names and claimed to be, I guess they didn't claim to be technicians.
No.
Anyways, they did come through on the ghost box that night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have not heard the EVPs, so I don't know if they came through on EVPs. But both names came through on the ghost boxes, and it has been brought to our attention by others that they are both technicians.
And for those of you tuned in late, on October 1st, we had 71 teams around the world, Australia, South America, England, quite a few here in the United States, some in Canada, that were participating in the experiment, and the results will be out October 31st. I'm not sure the time on it. Are you, Deb?
I am not.
But it's going to be interesting to see that all these 71 teams were doing the same thing at the same time to see if we got the same information from the other side. So that's going to be exciting. We're...
Sure. Is my phone going dead? Oh, so if we lose Facebook Live, we only have about 9 more minutes. I don't know if we have one here or not.
Okay, 9 minutes. Okay, good.
Arian is asking, do you currently feel different? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have been noticing, and I've talked to you about it, some physical differences. I feel tired, but I feel more energy, if that makes any sense. It doesn't to me. Vision, yes. My vision has been horrible since then. Obviously, I wear glasses, so I don't have great vision anyways, but it's been worse since this happened. Spiritually, I feel more aware, and I don't think anyone could go through something like this without being more aware. But I do feel like there's a different awareness. I'm more aware of our galaxy, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I sense things differently. It's like my skin gets that sensation, that tingly sensation, easier now than ever before.
Right.
If spirit is close, I feel I'm way stronger than I ever used to. And yes, we have some noise up front, but it's okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, something like that changes your life totally and makes you more aware that there's much more going on out there than you thought, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a medium.
Right.
You know, I deal with that end of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with spirits and you know, I've looked into time stream and things like that. I definitely have a belief in Bigfoot. I do have a belief in UFO.
Do you feel a different level vibrations of energy?
Yes. Yes. And that's the odd thing that I was talking about. I feel tired, like almost like that's probably because I'm not sleeping. I was going to say, kind of like I'm not getting any sleep. Well, I'm not.
We've been working extremely hard the last 2 weeks.
Yes, mm-hmm. Extremely hard.